Okay. Hey, everybody. Okay, so I just wanted to kind of piggyback real quick, if it's okay if I just share something before I get into my message. Because you were talking about love, and bro, you kind of opened up my mind a little bit. But I wanted to actually speak about Kat and I. So Kat and I, we've been together for a little bit now, and I've known her for about 13 years. I love this girl. And I just want to say this, you know, before I was officially dating Kat, I was in a relationship with somebody else, and we were equally yoked. And I felt that that person really helped me understand the true love of God. But I want to just say this because God works in such mysterious ways. You know, you were saying that God was giving you, I guess, a word about the person that you're with now. And before, you know, Kat, she actually, we're both from Pennsylvania, and she was living in Australia. And I remember when Kat was living in Australia, God was telling me, I could just feel it in my spirit. I'm sending someone to you, and I'm healing them. And I thought to myself, I'm like, okay, this has to be one person that I've just known for a while. Because it was somebody in my mind that I knew for a while. And I even had a dream. I had two dreams. And the first one was just, you know, it was Kat. But the second one is what really stuck out to me because, you know, your boy has had it rough with some relationships. I'll just be honest. I know how to choose them. But I can say that this time, the Lord definitely chose this relationship. And I just want to share just the dream that I had. When I think about it, it still gives me butterflies and hope. I met her family in the dream. Met her dad, who is no longer with us, God rest his soul. And I remember sitting there with Kat outside. And it was just this feeling, I'm like, God is trying to tell me something very special about this woman. God is preparing something for us. And I don't know if y'all know the significance of blue jays. I don't know if you see them. Very seldom do you really see a blue jay. But I remember in the dream, there was two blue jays in the nest. And there was one that went over to her, and it was like, it was so real, because the way this blue jay got my attention, it was like in a line. I just saw him going over to Kat, and the blue jay, as like a token or a reward, gave Kat one of its feathers, and then afterwards, the blue jay lit up. It was like, you know, that picture you get in your mind when you're reading Exodus, and it says, the glory of the Lord was on Moses' face. I just saw that glory around the bird, and I just saw her kind of just lighting up. And since then, like, God has just been confirming in our relationship, like, this is the woman that I have ordained for you. And I'm blessed to see her just becoming an evangelist. But I just wanted to share that because, brother, you knocked me out with that story. So I just wanted to share a little bit of love in this room, too. So, and Lewis, thank you so much for thinking of me. This is truly an honor. I can't thank you enough for being here. And Lewis asked me tonight, he says, if you could title your message, what would you title it for? And I thought to myself, you can't demote what God has elected. I'm going to be preaching out of the book of Nehemiah, and a little bit out of Zechariah. So I just want to go ahead and lead in prayer real quick, and I'd love to start with y'all, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, we take this time to lift you up, Lord. We glorify your name in this place. Lord, I ask one thing right now, that it would not be me speaking. Yes, it is my voice that everyone hears, but I pray that you would touch hearts individually, that they would hear the message in very special ways. I just pray for the needs inside of this room, that they would all be lifted. It says in your word that you're able to lift up valleys. And I pray that you're able to move mountains to the side for each individual inside of this room. I'm going to be speaking from the book of Jeremiah. He was confined in a courtyard. And Lord, you're able to elevate people in a very low place of their life. So please let us remember the good deeds of the Lord and how each and every time you come through. So Lord, please bless this place. And again, I pray that it would not be me speaking, but it would be your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we proclaim, we call on you, Lord. Amen. So to start off, I would like to jump into Jeremiah 33. I will be starting in the first verse. I was just explaining to you. Jeremiah, it says, was still confined in the courtyard of the guard, and the word of the Lord came to him a second time. Verse 2, this is what the Lord says, He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says about the houses in the city and the royal palaces of Judah that have been torn down to be used against the siege ramps and the sword in the fight with the Babylonians. So this next part, y'all got to kind of bear with me. It's a little bit violent, but I want you to understand that when God is working in your favor, and if there are people opposing you, he's going to charge after your enemy. I don't think you can just ask God, hey, God, politely deal with their heart. This scripture says in verse 5, they will be filled with bodies of the people I will slay in my anger. He says, I will hide my face from this city because of all of its wickedness. So again, this is the city that was against God's people. Nevertheless, I will bring health and healing to it. I will heal my people and will let them enjoy abundant peace and security. I will bring Judah and Israel back from captivity, and I will rebuild them as they were before. So I don't know about you, but I've been in some troubling places in my life. And I will say I am a lot younger than some people in this room, but I know what it's like to go through trials, to go through things that almost bring you to no hope. But God has delivered me every time, and I'm here right now to say I'm blessed. I'm blessed to be here. He says, I will cleanse them from all the sin they have committed against me, and will forgive all their sins of rebellion against me. Then this city will bring me renown, joy, praise, and honor before all nations on earth that hear of the good things I do for it. And they will be in awe and will tremble at the abundant prosperity. So I just want to kind of reflect, let's just capture this moment. Jeremiah is sitting in a courtyard. I don't know who in this room has been confined. If you have a record, we're all human. But I don't believe that God holds that against you and the elect that he has. I love Todd. He always says we all have a mission. We all have something in here. And, you may have heard this so many times before, but you may have done things in your past. What is that going to do for the mission? I believe Jeremiah may have been persecuted, but I think it was for a greater reason that he was going through these trials. Can't really say, everything that came from it, but he was a man of God, and he was obedient to the point that he was ready to take on many, many things. Excuse me, I want to just pull up something in my phone. So one thing that I also noticed inside of this scripture about Jeremiah is that he's not rebelling. He's not saying up to God, why have you placed me here? I have been so good to you, and here I am, you have me confined. We do not have to worry about the casualties taking place. God's hand does the fighting as we sit in reverence for the victory. I've always been that person. I've had to learn the hard way. I've been that person where I just learned to say, you know what? God has it. I know that he's going to deliver his promise. If we're all a part of Abraham's seed, he says, you will be a part of my covenant. That applies to each and every single one of us. So again, this is like I've been saying, pertaining to the promise, there are some key points that I want to address. Jeremiah was brought to a low place temporarily. This is usually when God transforms our hearts. He does this in the shadows and the pit because he's preparing Jeremiah's heart for something greater. I don't know how many of you have been given something in your life, Do you think you would have been able to have carried that thing if you were just in a state that you are right now? I think that God prepares our hearts in the valley, that God prepares our heart inside of the cave because you appreciate it. You appreciate probably a crown being placed on your head when you've worked hard for it. So I said, what do you think God wants you to remember the most? Do you think that he wants you to remember the captivity that you were in? Absolutely not. He wants us to sing and sing, for he is the deliverer of Zion. He knows our cases. The Holy One of Israel. So again, your blessing is more important to him, and that is why he had to let Jeremiah sit down for a little while. So as I was just saying, back in verse 8, I'll just reread this. It says, I will cleanse them from all the sin they have committed against me and will forgive all their sins of rebellion against me. He says, I wrote, do you know how good God is? You might have been hit so hard and revealed some inner darkness, but this isn't held against you. Romans 3 says, what shall we say then? If one is unfaithful for a little bit, will that nullify God's faithfulness? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So you might have been hit so hard and revealed this inner darkness, yes, and this may have grieved the Holy Spirit for a little while, but he loves you again with something so unconditional. And I just feel like somebody needs to understand that every day. I know what it's like to have a grievous heart. I'll just share this with you. You know, my family, my girlfriend, they know I was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder. And since I have been diagnosed, I don't really say that I hold this label tight over my head anymore. You know, I used to always think to myself, very low things, but I feel that where I'm at now, it brought me up. It brought me up. And one of the symptoms that they say comes with borderline personality is you tend to think that the world is coming after you. You tend to think that people are against you. It's like, I don't know how to describe it, but there's this thing that will say, they may tell you they love you, but don't believe it. It's a lie from the enemy. And I've had to learn to train myself into believing otherwise. So that's why I wanted to mention that, because I don't know if anybody has dealt with that inside of the room. But please understand, if you have a gnawing voice inside your head that tells you otherwise, Romans 3 confirms that God's love is faithful. So this is a side point. So I believe, you know, in our anger, we may be bound to sin. In our anger, we may do things we don't mean. We all say things we don't mean, but it's important to repent and to stay on the journey. There are times I feel a heaviness in my spirit, like I haven't confessed something. This is guilt, and we're not meant to carry this. Now, again, I may just be speaking to a small majority in the room. This is God attempting to eradicate the pain. He wants you to give him the power to diminish the enemy with one prayer of repentance. Lord, I made a mistake, and I was angry. Please vindicate me. So thank you for listening to that portion of the scripture. I would now like to jump in into Nehemiah. I'm going to be reading from Nehemiah chapter 4. Now, y'all can stay in Nehemiah chapter 4, but I just want to tell you what it says in chapter 2 really quick. Nehemiah witnessed the walls of Jerusalem. They had been broken down and the gates were destroyed by a fire. So when we jump into chapter 4, the subtext will tell you there's an opposition. There's opposition. So Nehemiah wanted to restore and rebuild everything. Verse 1 says, when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, what are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Basically, these people are being scorned for their belief. Nehemiah is trying to do something good, and I believe this person is the oppressor. This person is the opposition trying to say, don't even attempt it. So, back in the story of Jeremiah 33, I was telling you, God was telling Jeremiah, I will bring restoration back to you. Okay, I don't know about you, but who in here has been in the position you try to restore something and people try to say something against you? Getting back up is not always going to be easy. The world quickly puts a label on you when you're in your own down moment. Not to mention, so many people have fallen from the faith because a bunch of hurt people came to them and only put salt into their wound. But, what Nehemiah says in verse 4, he does not want to stop trying. He says, hear us, God, for we are despised. He says, turn their insults back on their own heads and give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. So verse 6 tells us the accomplishment. It tells us what he was able to fulfill. And it was, it says, we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. So I just want to say to you, you know, if you've ever been in this position, you know what it takes. It takes grit. It takes everything that you have inside of you to really want to rebuild again. I know what that's like sometimes, being inside of the cave, but it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome. So we are all here today standing graciously before God, aren't we? So who in here today felt like they fought some pretty hard battles? You fought the battle today and you didn't even realize it was coming. You're walking obediently, and I have proof of it right here before me. I'm looking at each and every one of you. So I really love the scripture from Zechariah. I preached everything I did out of Nehemiah. So jumping into Zechariah 3, says in verse 3, chapter 3, says, Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. The angel said to those who were standing before him, take off his filthy clothes. Then he said to Joshua, see, I have taken away your sin, and I will put fine garments on you. Then I said, put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him while the angel of the Lord stood by. The angel of the Lord gave this charge to Joshua. This is what the Lord Almighty says. If you will walk in obedience to me, if you will walk in obedience to me and keep my requirements, then you will govern my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you a place among these standing here. So I just want to take this moment to realize that just like Jeremiah, just like Nehemiah, these people were given opportunity to rebuild. They were given opportunity to use the very thing that was supposed to take them apart, and it was actually for their structure. And this is what we capture in Zechariah 3. You know, I can't sit here and tell you everything, but I know Joshua must have been sitting there. He was dressed in these clothes, but he was elevated. He had been elevated. And I don't know who needs to hear this, but it's only God's doing that's able to promote you. So again, you can't demote what God has elected. And that's really all I have tonight. So thank you for having me. Thank you. Sorry.
Anybody else in here dating? Date night. Man, I'm just banging everything around. Thank you, brother. You did a wonderful job. Amen. Amen. Wonderful job. Just in the time we got left, I want to share with you something that God's put in my heart. And I had an open vision from the Lord about 10 weeks ago. And I've only shared it with a couple of people. I shared it with Milburn and Jamie, our good close friends. And in my lifetime, I probably have had a total of 4 open visions. And I got saved 47 years ago. I know I don't look like it, but it was 47 years ago. And I remember every one of them with detail. And you know, just so you understand, an open vision is where you're awake, but suddenly everything around you is not there, and you're seeing something before your spirit, and you're hearing things from heaven. And I want to talk a little bit tonight, in the time I've got left, about the anointing. And it's very important that all of us understand the anointing of God. And if you've been born again, and if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you are anointed. Somehow or another, you got to let that sink in. You carry the anointing within you, and you are anointed. And, you know, I was been praying for some people here, and in my spirit, I just want to walk up to them and just, I'll just tell you right now, Tara, you're anointed. The anointing of God is upon you. Stephanie, you are anointed. Melbourne, you are anointed of the Most High God. It's important for us, and you have something to release. Because you're anointed, God wants to release the anointing through you. And if we, there's just a few things you just need to do to tweak yourself in order to release it. And you know, someone mentioned about Todd's always saying, and he does, he always says it, that there's something God's called you to and something for you to do. And it's very important in the Lord, not just for you, but the Lord, it's important to him, for you to come into the full realization of who you are and the power of God that is upon you. And in this day and time, I want you to know we need the power of God, and you need the power of God in your life. And in the vision that I had, and I'll tell you, it was the night before the vision, I had just had a terrible day. I had a day of days, and I got so discouraged, and so I felt so useless. And I sat there and I started speaking things. My wife was sitting next to me and I just was leaning on myself. And I will tell you, it's rare for me to do that. I mean, extremely rare, but it's just one of those days. And my wife just looked at me and she tried to encourage me, you know, and everything. And I felt lower than a hound dog. And so, you know, we watched a little TV or something and we went to bed. The next morning, I got up early and went in and sat in my easy chair, and suddenly everything around me wasn't there. I was there, but I wasn't there. And it's like I could feel my insides starting to freeze, and I heard a voice boom from heaven. And the voice said, "Why have you spoken against my anointing? Why have you spoken against my anointed ones?" And immediately the fear of God came on me, and I thought, who have I spoken against that's anointed of the Lord? What great crime. And then the voice said, "I have called you and set you apart, and I have anointed you. Why are you speaking against my anointed?" And I immediately started seeing my words And suddenly I started seeing words of other people. I started seeing believers all over the world and words coming out of their mouth. And how they were speaking against God's anointing. And then suddenly, the atmosphere in the room, I saw like a line appear in the atmosphere. And it opened up. And it was like two, you know, smooth canopies on both sides. And I saw blackness in the middle of this opening. And suddenly two shiny hands came out. And then, well, I could see them from the wrist part here, and it started doing this. And used terminology I wouldn't use. And then the voice spoke from heaven and said, "Your words are shaping your future." And the vision ended. And I immediately started praying and asking for God's forgiveness for speaking against my own self. You know, you can be your own worst enemy. And I really don't know what understand, well, I do understand, but I think the one thing that God has really dealt with me over the years and what I want to convey to other people is that there are weaknesses that we have. And there are things that we do, and the enemy will do everything to find your weak spots, to get you to turn on yourself, and to keep you from releasing that power that's within you. The power of God that's in you that can set people free, that can raise the dead, that can bring instant miracles and healing. And you know, I thought about that whole scenario. I felt such shame. I thought, how could I be so stupid? How could I say such words? Nobody had to talk. I was my own worst enemy. And as I repented of all this, I could see and understand what the enemy was trying to do. And this is what he did. He used my emotions against me. I really do believe that the real battle that we face a lot of times is getting our emotions under control. And the will of God is to make you and I spiritual men and women to the point where we, for the most part, 98% of the time, we are led by the Spirit and we're not led by our feelings or our emotions. And I will tell you, I ain't there yet. But I'm getting closer. And so I've learned over the years when to keep my mouth shut, because when your emotions are riled up and you've been through some kind of calamity, some kind of a problem, and your emotions are riled up within you, the desire for all of us is to open up our mouths and say it. It's like we cannot control. We got to speak whatsoever our emotions are telling us. And that's where we can do damage, because here's the deal. As a person who's anointed, as a person who has the anointing, your words have great power, whether you like it or not. And the enemy's purpose is to get you to speak words that aid his camp and not the Lord's. His purpose is to get you to speak words that bring destruction and division and harm. And he delights when you and I will get caught up in something and speak something. And I believe he just laughs all the way to the hills. And so, for the last few years of my life, I've done everything I can to guard, to keep my emotions in check. You know, when you're married, the person you're living with, sooner or later, you're going to have a tiff. You can't live with somebody in close proximity in marriage without there being some rubbing. Because that whole thing where it talks about the Bible says that we become one, that's a process. By the Spirit, it's true, you do become one, but you are going to, and I tell you, I've learned the hard way to keep my emotions in check. And I promise you, I do blow it occasionally, but it is occasional. It's not an everyday thing. And the absolute worst thing that I want to do, the one thing I guard myself against, is anger. Because if the enemy can get you out up to the point where you are just blood-curdling angry, you'll speak some words that are damning and harmful and release that power in a very damaging way. Are you with me?
Yes.
You know, this comes from something the Lord has shown me about the body of Christ in the United States in some areas that we just, and I don't have time to go there. But if you want to really be used of the Lord, there's a battle going on within. Now, we all know the scripture where it says in Romans chapter 12, you know, present yourselves to God a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him, which is your, it's reasonable service. You know, don't be transformed this world, but be, don't be, you know, go on with this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And your mind comprises of your emotions and your feelings and your thoughts. And so, I do my best that with my wife, that I will not allow myself to reach a point where I lose it. You know, we can have some conversation that can be a little high volume, but she's learned and I've learned to cut it off. Because we do not want to allow ourselves to get worked up to the point where we end up saying something. And by the way, once you say it, you can't get it back. Once you have spoken those words, they're out there. And you can't get them back. You can't reverse the damage. You can't go to that person and wipe it from their memory. You just can't. So the best thing to do is to find a way by the Holy Spirit, because you know, the Bible clearly says in Romans chapter 8, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen.
Amen.
And I believe that scripture, and I've taken it to heart. And so, I go the opposite. Now, Milburn over here could probably tell you some stories. He's known me for 40 years, and we've been really good friends. We've been on vacations, and so he's seen a different side of me. He's seen all the sides, and vice versa. I've seen his too. So, yes. But we appreciate one another because I see the anointing in him. I see the gifts of God in him. I hear the word of his testimony coming out of his mouth on a regular basis, and he hears it out of mine. And so we no longer look at the dark side because the light is far more bright and far more beautiful and far more better to talk about. And we just overlook those things. And just like what, that's what you do. And so I do my best. Don't allow the enemy to rile you up to a point where you're angry. Got to find a place to cut it off because there's too much God in you, too much power in you to use it so carelessly and allow it to be spewed out and cause more harm than good. The Bible says, and I don't like this scripture, but it says it, that we are going to give an account for every word spoken. That applies to the anointed ones. Because of this great power that God has given you, your words have to be accounted for. And I thank the Lord. He's doing a quick work in all of us. And I make it a point every day. You know, the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. How many of you know the, can quote it to me right now? Fruit of the Spirit, but, you know, I get, yeah. There you go, all right, you guys read the word. But there's one in particular that really hits home with me. Huh? Yes. But I want to go to the opposite of anger. And there's one that really hits home to me, is kindness. I really work hard to be kind to my wife every day. I make sure that when I see her in the morning, I greet her with kindness and with enthusiasm that I'm glad to see her. And it is work. Because like I said, when you're in close proximity to some people, sooner or later somebody's going to push your buttons. But I don't have a lot of time to get into this, so just let me finish up with a couple things here to prove my point. 1 John chapter 20, excuse me, chapter 2, verse 20, I'm going to cut to the chase, but you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you have knowledge. And some translations may say, you have all knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Is of the truth. Now listen to this. This is a biggie. Chapter 2, verse 27. But the anointing that you have received from him abides in you. And you don't need anyone that should teach you. Now that is a powerful statement. So, you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, born again, and the anointing is on you. And I'll tell you something, folks, I don't have to have anybody explain to me what the anointing is or when I sense it. When I know it's working and when it's not. There is going to be a natural ability in you because you have the Holy Spirit that you will know what is of God and what is not. It's fact. And you may not be able to articulate it, but somebody may say something and it sounds very spiritual, very eloquent. You may hear some body on TV preaching, and something inside of you says, I don't know what I'm feeling, but I just am not getting a witness to that. That's the scripture manifesting right there. Now, we need knowledge. Clearly, we need, that's why we need to study the Word of God, because we need the knowledge of God. We need to know the precepts, the oracles, the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
We need to know the word. But I can be around you and answer some questions about how to be led by the Spirit and how to hear the Holy Spirit and everything else. But I can't teach you because there is no teaching to be needed that you know absolutely inside what is the Holy Spirit and what is not. And a lot of times when you don't get a witness of them, you'll just naturally put it on your shelf. You know what? Maybe not criticize or anything. You just naturally will do that, which is what I do. There's so many scriptures here I could show you. But you are anointed. And I want you to walk out of here tonight with that ringing in your head and in your spirit. And therefore, you can lay hands on the sick. And they recover. You can raise the dead. As the Holy Spirit leads you, of course. You will get to the point where you hear the Lord. You know, when Brother Richard Muller was here, I think that's how you pronounce his last name, he was really astonished at how many people here talk about how they could hear God on a regular basis. The crowd that is here was far beyond any crowd he's ever been to, where people can hear from the Lord. And to where I'm just telling you where I should be here after 47 years. I can hear the voice of God every day. Telling me what to do, where to go, and what to say. And then what not to do, what not to go, and what not to say. And the days, saints of God, are upon us that we are going to be able to have to hear from God on a moment-by-moment basis. Turn on the news. The world is in chaos. But also the Holy Spirit in me tells me do not fear, and don't overreact to it. But the time that I have upon earth, in this earth suit that I'm in right now, I want to do my best by the grace of God and the Christ within me who strengthens me, because time is short. And soon, if I'm reading everything right, we will be with the Lord. We are at the very edge of the end of the age of the Gentiles. We are at the point where Christ is going to return and set up a 1,000-year reign upon the earth. We're so close. But in the meantime, I'm believing the Lord that that anointing in you will just get on fire, and that you'll hunger like you've never hungered before, and you'll start having visions and dreams. Amen. And, you know, I was reading the book of Daniel not long ago. It's a message that God's given me about visions and dreams. And I was reading where it says, I got excited. It says, I said, honey, come look at this. Come look, I've experienced this. Where Daniel was having a dream. He was sleeping, but he was having visions while he was sleeping. And I said, I've experienced that right there. I had visions. I had a dream, and all of a sudden I'm having a vision inside of the dream. And it explains exactly that there in the book of Daniel. It mentions it. It's so easy to overlook. But I'm believing for all of us to have visions and dreams and a prophetic word coming out of our mouth. And I want you to know, look, of course the Bible says there are apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, you know. But you have the anointing. You are anointed. And God can use you at any time to speak a prophetic word, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom to anyone that's around you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. These are exciting times, saints. If you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you hang around, and I'll make sure before you leave that you will be. I'm going to share one scripture with you. When the prophets, you know, I love seeing the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. When the prophet Samuel was sent to the house of Jesse, you know the story. And he said, one of Jesse's sons, I want you to anoint, and he is going to be king. So Samuel went there, brought his anointing oil, and one by one, these magnificent-looking warriors, glowing men, hunks of hunks, passed before Samuel. And Samuel said, surely, surely this magnificent man, I'm embellishing a little bit, surely this is the Lord's anointed. The Lord says, I have rejected him. He's not the one. So he went there, and finally, they all passed by. And the prophet said, is there any other son that you have with that? He said, well, there's David, our youngest. He's out mending the sheep, you know, herding them and all. And he said, we will not eat, we will not do anything until he gets here. So David came, and this is what the Bible says. Won't you hear this? Then God said, he's the one. And God said, take the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. Listen to this. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. Not everybody in the Old Testament experienced that. Generally, only prophets, priests, and kings. It was kind of, you know, restricted. But the Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost, everybody talked about it here, a rushing wind that came in. When I got saved and born again, I want you to know, when I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I felt a tidal wave inside of me rise up. I started hearing things and seeing things like I'd never seen before. So that is what's happening, saints. The power of God is on you and is in you. And the enemy will do everything he can to stop it, and he will use you against yourself. How many of you ever heard of autoimmune disease? Autoimmune disease is basically this. I can quote this, there's 167 different autoimmune diseases. I read this stuff all the time. And basically, it's your immune system turns against your own body parts. It doesn't, because of a certain, I'm not going to go into details, but anyway, they got to where they can't identify the good guys from the bad guys. And so your body will start attacking itself. And there's all kind of manifestations that come from. That's what's going kind of, it can go on in your own, in your spiritual life. You can become your own worst enemy. Are you following me? All right, I want you to repeat after me. I am anointed.
I have the anointing.
I have the power of God within me.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. You know, tell you a quick story. Jesus was always being tested by the Pharisees. The Pharisees and the religious crowd, that's the religious spirit. The religious spirit will do everything it can to keep you from moving on in the power of God. So they got around him and said, Rabbi, you know, we know you're from God. And, you know, there was a man, he got, his wife died, you know, and, you know, he went married again. And then, you know, he divorced or something like that. In the kingdom, in, when they get to the, in heaven, you know, whose wife will it be? Jesus said this profound statement. This thing's ringing in my spirit. He looked at these know-it-alls and said, you do err in understanding the scriptures and the power of God. You don't understand. So the greatest religious minds of that time, supposed to be descendants of Moses, anointings passed down from generation to generation, Jesus said, you're wrong, you're in error, you don't know the scriptures, you don't know the power of God. You know what? Whatever you hear, whatever you listen to, you read the word of God for yourself, that you know the scriptures. Amen.
Amen.
And you will know the power of God. And all this stuff that's out there now, where I'm telling you, mainline denominations and so forth, you know, the body of Christ is so mixed up. They've been taught things that are doctrines of demons. False doctrine. They're good people. They've only go so far, but they have been taught that the gifts of the Spirit, miracles have passed away, that, you know, there's no more dreams, no more visions. There's none of that. There's the baptism, there's not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You get the Holy Spirit when you're born again. Show me where it says that. There's not one scripture in here that says that. You can't find it because they don't have it. And they'll tell you they don't know one scripture. But they'll conjure up this doctrine that's not of God. They do err, not knowing the scriptures or the power of God. Amen.
Amen.
So, yes, sir. Sure. This is a PS version.
So I just want to share something with y'all. I've had conversations with a few folks. I'll just say I've felt the Lord talk to me in ways, and I've gone up to people and had a word for them. And people have come to me like, how do you know that the Lord is speaking through you? Like, how do you feel? And something that he was just talking about, he says the gifts of the Spirit. Okay, I want to remind a lot of people in this room, because I think this applies to all of us. Romans 12, it clearly says we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of you. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. To encourage, to give encouragement. I say all of this to mention, so my buddy Dylan, we go to these meetings together. We're both business partners. And one thing that I always encourage people is when we're inviting people to our networking meeting, keep on going, because you never know when that person is going to show back up. And I feel in my soul that there are many people in here that have wanted to share something with someone, but they felt like God tuned them out from the gift. But see, I just want to say there may be a disappointment that you had long ago that settled, and you started thinking, nobody's going to want to hear my voice. But I just feel the Holy Spirit trying to tell me, let your zeal come alive, Because nothing breaks barriers down more than people seeing you have deliverance written all over you. And there is another thing that just stood out to me really quick. Well, two things, sorry. The gifts of the Spirit come in many different ways. Yes, Lewis has the word of prophecy. So does Todd. But each of you can speak to people very remotely. If your gift is giving to people, whether it's the homeless, whether it's just the Spirit trying to tell you, hey, go up to this person, just check on them today. You are voluntarily choosing to go up to the person that God has elected. So don't ever, I want to say this politely. If you ever assume in your mind God is not allowing me to prophesy, God is trying to speak through you with actions. If it's to serve, if it's to encourage, however that may be. 2 Corinthians 9, again, generosity and courage. It says, verse 7, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And that's all. That's all I wanted to share with you real quick.
Okay, the anointing also helps us and protects us. Today, I've had two instances. The Lord told me to organize, to take all of my, I need to go through my books. And I was like, okay, no problem. But the thing is, I have like over 700 books in the house. So he showed me to dump them all on the floor, dump them, place them on the floor, and sort them into categories. You know, deliverance, healing, prayer, prepper, stuff hits the fan books, how to garden, okay? And so I was feeling very overwhelmed. I mean, I don't get feeling overwhelmed a lot, but I'm like, oh, I'm like, Lord God, help me. Help me. You told me to do this. So I just put on worship music and called for my kids. So they helped bring some of the books out from the five hiding places. And I still was feeling very overwhelmed. And I was like, Lord, help me. It's like the anointing, it's like he came and helped me. I got everything organized except for this pile and this pile. So I put of over 700, probably 600 books. I probably have over 200 on the couch. So the anointing helps. And the anointing also protects. I just came from a meeting and it was good. But then something came on. There were people sitting in the back that had some things on them. And I usually, if I'm fine, I don't feel stuff. I'm not, whatever, you know. Sometimes when it's a bigger thing, I will physically start to shake. They're sitting behind me. I'm seeing one over here, but I didn't see the what's behind me. And I start to shake in this meeting, and I shook for like an hour and a half. And I'm praying in the spirit quietly. I'm going, it's a public meeting. I'm like, Lord God, what is this? I knew it was because their whatever anointing was hitting mine. And so I was praying for the people on the stage that was at the thing. And there's this whatever's and the whatever's behind me. So I was praying and interceding, but I was physically, I'm trying not to shake like this. I'm like, it's not cold. So the anointing protects. And the gifts and callings are without repentance, right? So I had someone else there who was sitting two rows in front of me, and I know this person really well. And she said, blah, 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 blah was in the back. I said, I noticed. She said, I was shaking. I said, I was too. Because she had enough discernment, the gifts and calling, she has enough discernment in her not saved state to feel it also. So I didn't tell her that I was shaken too, but I was praying in the spirit to kind of protect from da 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 da. You know, so the anointing protects us and it helps us. And so I am so thankful for the anointing that helps us, because we so need protection to do those things we feel overwhelmed about. And then we need protection from the la 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 stuff. that people carry. So that's what I was going to say.
Anybody else? All right.
Finish where we started.
No, 10 minutes now.
Yeah, not 10 minutes.
I ain't got to move out of my seat. No, just going full circle, you know, with the anointing and submitting our anger and our emotions, you know, submitting the flesh to the Lord, you know, I didn't today want to go up there and share that. That's the reason I did. You know, I was like, it was that day that I was like, I'm emotionally done. I've kept quiet all day, held the tongue. But if I'm going to speak, I need to speak God's truth. And I was like, and then I got to text her. And I was like, I love you. I love you. I love you. You know, but I was telling her, I got to prophesy over myself. You know, prophecy is sharing your testimony. You're prophesying of what Christ has done in your life. And that can break you free from, because we're not all good at submitting our anger yet. You know, we're still, some of us are still young and a little, got a little bit more energy in us. So, if you do feel that lowest of low and you feel like your mouth is being held and you can't speak, that's when you need to speak God's truth over your life and what you already know to be true. So just want to full circle that.
All right. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. It's been a real smorgasbord tonight, hasn't it?
Yeah.
All right. That's what the gathering is all about. Amen. If you need prayer, please stay. And there are people here that will pray with you. I will pray with you. And if you have not been born again, you want to find Jesus to get saved this tonight. But if you want the baptism of the Spirit, please. I'm real good at it. Amen. And I will minister the baptism of the Holy Spirit to you. Others will lay hands on you and watch what happens. Amen. Don't forget next Thursday, Hannah Hunter. Amen. And so many things that could be said tonight, but let's pray. I tell you what, before we do that, Milburn's granddaughter, Nora, what's her last name?